Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we talked about the prodigal son, probably the most heartwarming parable of all time. This week, we talk about another parable, a powerful parable, but it has a shocking twist at the end, and it is not as heartwarming as last week's parable. But it is important for us to understand this parable and what Jesus was teaching his audience about and what he was teaching us as his disciples about. In order to get the full meaning of this parable, there are three important things to understand about this parable. We have to understand the audience. Number two, we have to understand the meaning. Number three, we have to understand the purpose of the parable. So let's start with number one, the audience. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. Luke 20, verse 9. So, obviously, as the text says, Jesus was teaching the people, the crowds that have come to hear him at Jerusalem. This parable takes place on the Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus entered Jerusalem on Sunday, Palm Sunday, which we will celebrate next Sunday. On Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple, and this teaching takes place on Tuesday, as Jesus is teaching publicly in the temple. And this is an extremely dangerous thing for Jesus to do. Jesus is not popular with the Jewish leaders and Jewish authorities. And he's in their hometown now. Pilate and the Romans are on edge because this is the week of the Jewish Passover. And Jerusalem is filled with Jewish people from all over the world. And Jesus has already drawn attention to himself by the raising of Lazarus from the dead and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If Jesus were interested in self-preservation, the smart play would have been to lay low for the week or come back to Jerusalem at a different time. But Jesus is not interested in self-preservation. He is interested in offering himself as the perfect Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice who takes away the sins of the world. He will offer himself up on Friday, but in the meantime, he is doing what he has always done, preaching the gospel. The good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus was teaching the people, but Jesus was also teaching his enemies, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were eagerly listening to him. I call them enemies not because Jesus considered them enemies. Rather, they saw themselves as enemies of Jesus and hated him with a passion. These enemies of Jesus are there for one reason, to try and trick and trap Jesus with his words so that they can convict him of blasphemy and put him to death. They are, of course, completely unsuccessful. Every challenge and trick question is answered perfectly by Jesus, and it only leads to more and more of the people believing in him. Now, Jesus is going to share a parable, one that he intends for the crowd to hear. But he doesn't want only the crowd to hear it. He wants the chief priests, the teachers of the law, his enemies, to hear it as well. In fact, you might say this parable is specifically for them. Jesus doesn't hide from his enemies. He talks to them directly, face to face. This is so different from the world today where people, instead of engaging in face-to-face conversation, they leave anonymous messages on message boards. They fire off an anonymous message on Twitter. Instead of conversation, we have verbal snipers who try to pick off their targets without ever meeting them. This parable is not a heartwarming story about reconciliation between a father and a son. This parable is more of a mystery with a twist ending that no one listening would have expected. So let's get on to the meaning of the parable. First of all, it's a parable about rejection. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. There's a landowner who rents out his beautiful vineyard to some tenants. When it comes time to collect the rent, the tenants decide they don't want to pay the rent. The landowner sends servants to collect the rent, but they seize his servants, beat them, and then seriously wound a third. It's a bizarre way to treat the servants of the landowner. And what does this mean? Well, the landowner, of course, is God. And his vineyard is God's people, Israel. And the tenets are the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and teachers of the law that are listening. The servants are the prophets, those who came to preach God's word to the people. The leaders of Israel treated the prophets with contempt and hatred, rejecting their message, and by doing so, rejected God. But God, in his loving patience, keeps sending prophets so that his people might repent. Remember how Jesus lamented over Jerusalem? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how long have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. The Lord wants to bring his people back to himself, but they refuse time and time again. And every messenger God sends in the form of a prophet is rejected, up to and including John the Baptist. It's a parable about rejection, but it's about more than that. It's also a parable about murder. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. It's not just a parable about rejection. It's also a parable about murder. The owner of the vineyard said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my beloved son. Surely they will respect him. They will treat him with the proper respect." But when the tenants saw him, they come up with a crazy plan. And when I say crazy, I mean crazy. This is literally a crazy, illogical, psychopathic plan. They say, "Let's murder the son, and then we'll gain his inheritance," which doesn't make any sense. But again, these people are not thinking rationally. At this point, I mean, this is starting to turn into a crime show. It's turning into an episode of Chicago PD or CSI Jerusalem. Well, these people do exactly what they say they're going to do. They carry out their homicidal plan and murder the son. They take him outside of the vineyard and kill him. Jesus then turns to the people and asks, "What do you think should happen to these tenants? What will the owner of the vineyard do to them?" "He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to someone else." But here's the twist ending. The twist ending is that the son is Jesus himself. Jesus is the beloved son sent by the Father, the only begotten son. Over and over again, of course, at baptism, Jesus was called the beloved son. At his transfiguration, Jesus was called the beloved son. And now, of course, here, he's referred to as the beloved son, but he's the beloved son who's going to be murdered by the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the tenants of the vineyard. Jesus is predicting his own murder. He is the stone the builders reject. Jesus is predicting his own murder right in front of the men who will commit the crime. That's the twist ending, and that's the shocking part. So this is what we have to understand. Jesus is telling this story for a purpose. What is that purpose? Why does Jesus tell this parable? Well, Luke 20:19 says, "The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people." Why did Jesus tell this parable? For the crowd, to be sure. It contains important truths about the kingdom of God. But I think he told this parable especially on behalf of his enemies. Jesus doesn't just engage with his enemies. He doesn't just talk to his enemies. Jesus loves his enemies. And these men are not career criminals. They are members of the clergy. The question becomes, if these guys were so devout, how did they become so evil? Well, the answer is, well, sin, but a specific sin that, of all people, Pilate pointed out. This specific sin seems small, but grew to dominate their lives. Pilate discovers what it is. Matthew 27, verse 18 says, "He knew it was out of jealousy that they had handed Jesus over to him." Matthew 27:18. Beware the power of jealousy. Beware the power of envy. Jesus confronts his enemies with their sin for one simple reason. He wants them to repent. He loves them and wants them to turn back to the Lord. He did the same for Judas. He did the same for Peter. He does the same for Pilate. Over and over again, Jesus offers people a way out of the temptation. And Jesus does the same here for the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Even in the last week of his life, Jesus is loving his enemies more than he loves himself. He loves them enough to confront them with their sin. And you have to say, the parable hit home. It pierced their heart. They knew it was about him. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had said this parable against them. But they feared the people. Jesus loves his enemies, but he does even more than that. He doesn't just love his enemies. He doesn't just tell his enemies the truth in a desire for them to repent. No, Jesus goes even farther than that. Jesus dies for his enemies. Jesus is on to them. He knows their hearts. He knows what they want to do. Why doesn't he just run away? Jesus doesn't run away because he doesn't want to. He willingly chooses the cross. He willingly chooses the cross so that he might pay for our sins and save us from sin and death. Who does Jesus save by dying on the cross? Believers? Sure. His disciples? Just the people who loved him? Jesus dies for his friends, but those aren't the only people he dies for. Jesus dies for his enemies. Enemies as we once were, right? God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for his enemies. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. On Friday, Jesus will hang on the cross and die for all people, believers, unbelievers, friends, and his enemies. Yes, he even died for the chief priests and teachers of the law who murdered him. But he did not stay dead. Jesus died on Friday, but rose victoriously from the grave on Sunday. Or as Jesus puts it, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus has risen victoriously from the dead. He is risen so that all who believe in him can have everlasting life. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.